You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Good morning, JRE Review listeners. Thank you for tuning in. How you doing today, Mark?
Ooh, I'm good, man. Good. Fresh out of bed. Got my tea. I'm ready to go. Let's do this.
Let's go. You got a bit of a cold? What were you saying? Allergies?
Allergies, man. My cats were pains in the ass all last night. We kept waking us up. One, the greatest alarm clock in the world is your cat about to throw up, especially when it's in the middle of your freshly cleaned seat. So, like, I just threw him off. And I was like, fuck!
Are you allergic to cats?
Yeah, I have a mild cat allergy. Mainly, it's like dust.
And then you have cats.
And then I have cats.
I never get that.
Dust pop.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, the cats were... I was only supposed to be watching them for 2 weeks. My buddy asked me to watch them for 2 weeks while they look for a new place, and that was in January.
So, now you own cats.
But they've nested here. I mean, they're my boys. They're my boys. So, like,
that's good.
Like, it's fine. I'll just go take. I just gotta get some nasal spray and some shit, and I'll be fine. So,
have you tried shaving them?
I have. So that's where I got all those scars on my body. A lot of people think I was attacked by Freddy Krueger, but that's not the case. It was my cat when I tried to shave them.
I don't think it would. Yeah, I don't think it would go well. You definitely have to sedate a cat before you shave.
Dude, we tried to trim our cat Oliver's nails yesterday, and like that was not good. Like, people think we're cutting ourselves now. Like, we're about to get turned into rehab or something. It's not good. That cat, you know how cats have that thing on the back of their neck that, like, you grab that little spot on the back of their neck.
Oh, like how you can pick them up?
Yeah, and it's supposed to, like, paralyze them because that's how their moms would carry them. So they basically, when you do that, they think instinctually it's their mom taking over, and so they usually submit. Yeah, not our little cat Oliver. Nope. He's like, nope, that doesn't fucking work on me. Nor does catnip, nor does treats. You best bring kryptonite, bitches. I'm like, shit.
I've never trusted that thing. I've never tried to pick a cat up like that. I would imagine that would piss them off.
It does now. I mean, it's better for kittens, but it will. If you just grab that spot on the neck, like when they're on the ground, they just submit to you. Like our 24-pound cat. You do that, and he's just like, he could kill all of us. Like, if he decided that murder was the name of the game today, we'd be toast. But he doesn't, because he's very sweet. But you grab him by the back of the neck, and he's out. He's just like, he protests, but he doesn't do anything.
Like, so that's it. These are self-induced allergies.
Yeah, these are entirely self-induced. I think
you did it. You did
Dustin pollen probably a little
bit. I don't know if I have any allergies to animals. I don't think I've had an animal long enough to find out. I assume probably everyone does
to
some degree.
I think so. My allergies are bad in the summer. In the winter, it's never a problem because there's not really a lot going on in the air. So air quality's been shit lately too, man.
Well, LA is just a bit of a mess right now.
It is.
So hot, it rains so much, there's so much shit blooming. The hills that usually just look like desert are green.
Yep.
And you're like, what the hell is going on?
The weirdest summer, man.
Like, that's gotta be messing with people. It's
gotta
be. It's a mess. Well, at least there's good news in the world of podcasting. We had some great guests so far this week. Penn Jillette was on. I'm a huge fan of Penn.
Yeah.
I don't believe he's ever been on Rogan before, as far as I can remember, though I knew that they were friends.
It makes sense.
So good to have him on.
Rogan would be friends with Penn.
Yeah, I think, Joe, I've seen some video and heard some audio before of them talking, and it must have been Joe going on Penn's show. And back in the day, Joe had a bit of a debate with a guy that Penn brought on, just talking about the moon landing being fake.
Oh.
And they talk about it, obviously, on this podcast, and there was a good bit of audio about that, which is great.
What was Joe pro we landed on the fucking moon?
No, Joe back in the day was quite well known for being he didn't believe
He
it.
didn't believe
He
that we
didn't think
landed
that
on
it
the moon.
happened. He thought there was a lot of fuckery
What does he think
going
now?
on. And now he's changed his mind a little
Okay.
bit. He's changed his tune. And he doesn't bring it up much, but he did talk about it on this one with Penn, which I thought was interesting. And then the other guest, who I was actually really excited for as
Yeah,
well,
man.
John
Yeah,
Carmack,
dude.
because that's the Doom creator, the Quake creator, the Wolfenstein guy. Now, Joe is a huge Quake fan, has been forever, and obsesses about it constantly when he gets playing it. He's basically addicted to those sorts of games. But what was cool is John Carmack now is working on that
Yeah,
Oculus stuff,
man.
the VR technology. So let's get into that one. So for
Love it.
those listening, this is podcast 1342 that we're reviewing with John Carmack. John's a really interesting guy. He's very smart, obviously. He just has that kind of like nerd sound about him, so you know he's a clever dude.
Exactly.
Chilled, real chilled, and he speaks well. So I would assume he does a lot of speaking events because he was just very clear and concise and kept his thoughts together,
Right.
and I liked it. It was a nice flow. Joe didn't have to do a lot. He said some things, but definitely it was John's stage
That's
for
cool.
this. So back in the day, I remember when Wolfenstein came out, I was playing on my friend's PC. They used to call them like a 286
Yeah.
was the processor. Do you remember when they used and they'd have like two excuse me, 2 megabytes of RAM.
Yeah,
Megabytes, right? And I remember you needed 4 to play Doom, and I only had
Oh,
2
man.
on this one computer I had. So all I could play was Wolfenstein, which is just like really one of the first-person shooters I ever remember. I think there were some others,
Yeah, man.
clunky, but it was mind-blowing. I'd never played a game like that, and I couldn't believe it. And I just thought, this is going to change everything in gaming. Like you could see it even then.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're still making Wolfenstein games, too.
I mean, periodically they came out
The
with.
girlfriend plays it.
I had one recently. Well, was it my PS4? I think it was my PS4. I had one for, and it was just, an updated version. It wasn't as good as the newer Doom, the
Gotcha.
Doom 3,
Yeah.
but still great. But in a way, it's kind of a shame because Wolfenstein and Doom was so classic. I mean, Doom especially was just mind blowing. You couldn't look up and down. You couldn't jump.
Right.
There was so many clunky elements. Like if you looked into a wall, sometimes you could like look past the wall, and everything was just messed up,
Glitchy. Yeah, glitchy.
But it just since there was nothing else like it, and games back then kind of sucked really bad.
Right.
The PC
Well,
games were just
sure.
garbage.
Well, at that point, you just had your side scrollers. Does every game was side scroller pretty much, or unless it was a racing game, and then that all changed. I feel like GoldenEye was also a big game changer as far as.
Yeah, but that was quite a lot
Yeah, you're
later.
right.
That
You're
was probably
absolutely
another. Who knows?
Man,
I wonder.
my girlfriend's the gamer. She's literally playing Witcher on her headphones right next to me right now while we record this.
Is
Yeah.
that
She's the gamer
right? We're
app.
probably talking, and she's like, "Oh, these guys know nothing about games. What a bunch of
She
idiots!"
definitely thinks we're a bunch of idiots every time we do this.
But I mean, it was really my first introduction into getting pretty obsessed with gaming was Wolfenstein. I
I didn't
mean,
know you gamed at all.
dude, back then I loved it.
Oh, that's
I
cool.
was really into it. I was into computers then. I was into games. I was like, "Oh, we need to get more RAM." They had like these little mods you could change different aspects of the game, and it's cool because John was talking to Joe about that, about these mods, how when these games first came out, they really wanted to encourage the people out there, the gamers, the basic programmers
Sure.
to play around with the game and change things, make your own levels. I remember when one of my friends had a disc that came. You remember when PC Magazine or these magazines used to come with a disc on the
Hell
front
yeah,
that you
dude.
put it in your computer, and then it allowed you to like change different aspects of things. There was like a level builder for Doom, and I just thought, this is unbelievable. This is like the greatest thing ever.
Did you build levels?
I don't think I could ever figure it out.
That never appealed to me.
I was never that good at this stuff, but I,
right.
you know, it, the problem is you couldn't build a half a level and then play it.
Right.
So in order to make it work, you ended up just building one room and putting some stuff in there, and it's like, what was the point of this? Like, it was a lot of work because they didn't have everything kind of put together for it.
Right.
But yeah, and then Quake. Were you ever a Quake player?
No, not at all. I'm sure the girlfriend did, but no.
Yeah, Quake was cool. I didn't play it a ton. By then, excuse me, I was kind of transitioning out of.
Right.
I don't know. I was just getting older. Well, maybe I just figured out what girls were, and I'm like, all right, fuck these video games. I'm going to go do something else.
How old were you when that was going on? I feel like I was in high school, and I wasn't gaming at all in high school. In any way.
Yeah. I was probably like, I moved to America when I was 13, so it had to be before that. I would say 10.
Oh, wow.
Maybe
okay.
10 to 13. So this is like 81. This is like 92 to 95, maybe. I think this is when that was happening.
Okay, yeah. So
when PCs were like starting to make games, it was before the first Pentium came out.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because that was like a 1,000 megahertz. So like the 286 was 286 megahertz for the PC.
Right.
Then 1,000 was like this big jump, and ooh, Windows 95, and what a change.
Ooh, man. Remember that when that came out, and they had a whole VHS that came out with a cast of friends explaining how to use it?
Is that right?
Fuck yes, that's right. I'll never forget it.
Oh, that's so cheesy. Well, it was a big jump because they have before that? Windows 3.1.
Yeah, man. Because that was just like
Windows
icons.
95 was such a different. Yeah, exactly. It was such a different interface.
It was.
And it looked so much nicer. I mean, it basically really is just kind of like what we use now.
It
hasn't changed a lot.
Absolute. Beginning of what we use now in terms of like operating mm-hmm. systems and interfacing with operating systems. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It was a big deal. And the cast of friends brought it to us.
Thanks. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jen Aniston.
Thanks. Thanks. What a show. What a like very overrated comedy show.
Yeah, you're not a big fan of the sitcoms, are you?
You know, not. I mean, to me, that one was a bit like The Big Bang Theory.
Right.
You know, there are jokes in there. I know they exist, but I mean, if you put it side by side with like Seinfeld, I don't think it's they're both comedy, but they're both very different.
Oh, completely.
I don't think it takes a lot of work to write a Friends episode, though. I would hate to try and write a Seinfeld episode.
Oh, man, that's just a. That's a different animal completely. You have to come at it from a different vantage point.
Yeah. And then I'm just a bit of a dick to Big Bang Theory, really, because I haven't watched a lot of it. I just like shitting on it because it makes me laugh.
No, I feel like if you've seen one Big Bang Theory, you know what you're getting. And if you didn't like it, there's no like, oh, I'll give it another try. This is it. This is what it is.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a bit of a nerd, sure. And I thought that maybe that could interest me and pull me in, but it didn't work.
Yeah.
I was like, what? What's happening here? But, yeah, I don't know. I don't watch a lot of TV, man.
You don't.
Same reason I don't play a lot of games now. I just can't sit still long enough.
I'm the same way. I mean, I haven't watched TV, and it's just, aside from The Office, I'm watching The Office for the first time. So that's kind of like my comfort zone. I'll come home. If I want to decompress from the day or whatever, I'll watch an Office and then I'll go to bed or something like that.
It's kind of funny.
Or if I'm waiting.
You get home from work and then watch a show about people at work.
And I'm like, oh, they have it worse than we do. No, they don't.
What did you think about when John was talking about that new Oculus Quest, which is, I guess this is the new VR version that is more self-contained. It's just the goggles,
yeah,
or whatever they call them.
They don't,
and then the handles,
right?
And that's kind of it.
But these are the ones that are going to be cordless too, right? It works on a battery. Is that right?
Yeah,
yeah. So that,
yeah, you can like take them outside,
yeah,
and go to the park.
I think that's really, yeah. I remember they were promoting that because my girlfriend used to work in VR, like she was like for a VR channel, So she got, we have VR here at the PlayStation though, but she got, so I got to go to set with her all the time and play with that, and we play with the Oculus, and they were talking about how that's a big next step because you can take it anywhere. I mean, you can go to a Lakers game with like these headsets if you want to. I mean, at least, and anything that's broadcasting with those cameras, you can go be a viewer. That could be a really cool thing, man. I mean, especially if you can get a better battery life on that sucker, because it only lasts like 20 minutes or whatever. I mean, you can plug in, so it's not like a drone where you get 20 minutes and then you got to replace the battery. You can plug in and shit like that. But yeah, the shit you'll be able to do. I mean, think about that. That's really cool, and it's we're getting to the point where it's photo real. Like Google Earth had like a game, and I'm pretty sure it was through Oculus. In fact, I'm almost positive it was through Oculus. And my mother got to try it out, and she was, it was so real, like you're flying over the Grand Canyon. And she started getting sick. She was like, this is way too real. I can't, like, my brain can't process it. But think about the opportunities you're going to, so if you want to go see a Knicks game or something in New York, but you're all the way in Hawaii or some shit, but you really, boom, whatever you want to pay for that. Broadway shows, how fucking cool would that be? Like, people in the Midwest, then, you know, they make a modest income. They never get to go see a Broadway show. Boom, go buy the Oculus. Pay $20 ticket or something like that. Go see the Broadway show. Go see Harry Potter or some shit.
You think that would work with stand-up? Like, let's say Joe Rogan is doing a show. You're, like, there in the audience with the goggles on. How well would that work, do you think? I mean, that's certainly better than just watching a stand-up special.
I think it could really be cool.
Do you think that it could work?
I think that'd be a really cool option to have. Like, so let's say Rogan does a Netflix special or some shit. And so you have two options. You can just watch the regular edited version of his special, or you can do the live VR version where, you know, even though it's still there, it's all those camera modes, and you just get to be like you're in the audience, sitting there watching him. You know.
Well, think about how popular he is.
Yeah.
Right. So Rogan he can sell out massive areas.
Yeah.
You know, 25,000 plus people when he did that with Chappelle. Obviously, Chappelle's bringing in a lot of people, but still, that's a fuck ton of people.
Right.
Right. They have to assume that they're both bringing in close to half. But now there's an option to where you live, like you said, in Kansas.
Yeah.
And for $3. He'll let you buy a ticket to his show. Just $3, though.
Right.
Real cheap. Because 100,000 people are going to log in.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And it's fucking, like, that's such a brilliant addition.
I mean, I think that's where we're going.
That's got to be possible.
Yeah. I think that's where... Oh, I definitely think that's where we're going. It might not... Now, it might be something like that's not a version that's available, like, side-by-side, but, like, a regular version on Netflix or something, because that's going to take a shit ton of processing power.
But they get that.
Yeah, totally.
That's just time. That's like saying it's going to take a lot of battery power.
No,
totally. And that was one thing that John would point out a lot, which I thought was really cool. He would say what the upper limits of any of the technology were. So Joe was suggesting a lot of stuff, obviously, because he didn't know a ton about this. Oculus and how it works. So he was like, could you do this? Could you be in this room? Could you do that? X, Y, and Z. And John was really quick to point out, oh, those are just limitations of the graphics today. But we can improve that. It's always improving. Or the battery, always improving.
Yeah.
Some of the things that he was saying were harder was when you can go outside to a park and then kind of build your own area that you can have as VR. But then if it's very bright, I guess sunlight like messes with the sensors.
That I believe.
So that's one of those limitations that... Yeah, I just haven't used it, so I'm not really sure what he's even talking about. Can you see through the when you put the goggles on? It's not just a screen then. You can see through it?
No, you can't. I mean, no, it's like 360 around you. So, like, the goggles, you can't see through it. You cannot see anything around you in real life.
I gotcha.
Now, they do have sensors, so like some of the video games I would play... I played this boxing game. Dude, for real, best workout you'll ever fucking have. I was sweating buckets.
Is that right?
Oh my God, I was sweating.
Yeah, Joe likes that one too. He said that was good.
Dude, I literally did it. It was a Wednesday, I believe, and that's when Ken and I got into the big fight where I got bit. That Saturday, remember the one where it was the fight where I got bit by that guy?
Oh, when you were working security.
Yeah, I got. It was 4 days earlier. I was playing that VR boxing game, and I think that's one of the reasons I smoked that dude. Because I've been like sparring with like Apollo Creed and shit. But
do you think that it like that just from playing it? Like, do you think you could chop in some skills?
Fuck yeah, you could. I don't think it's
really.
Yeah, I mean, it's never going to be a substitute for a real person because a real person hits you. But absolutely.
So you have to aim?
Yeah.
Like, they will move their head, and you can move, 100%. And then you'll hit them?
Absolutely.
That's pretty sweet.
You got to hold the controllers, but, I mean, it's not... They're like your gloves. So you get in the ring, and you're just, you know... You can move, and then there's a sensor in them that lets you know if you're getting too close to the wall and shit. And their setup was mixed reality, so it was really cool. So you're in a room that's a green screen, so you're playing... You know, your boxing game or your fighting game or whatever game. I mean, they had like a million different VR games. It was really cool, like a Tetris. And so you're in there, but there's also a camera in there that is filming you. And so they took those two images and they combined them. So they combined the VR world with what you're doing. So it actually looks like you're playing in the world, like when it's broadcast. So that's how they do their show a lot of times. So you just see them in the room,
shit,
and
cool.
It was like they were really in the gladiator arena, like chopping it, whatever was coming at them or whatever. It was really fucking cool.
Yeah. If I wish they could, and it was something that Joe was banging on about for a while, like creating a glove, you know, because some of them are heavy. They're like 18 ounce, and you could put sensors and different things in. But if they could somehow make it to where when you hit something, you get a bit of pushback.
You absolutely could do that.
Because it wears you out. If you're ever like boxing on a bag and you move back,
yeah,
and straighten out the punch, but the bag's too far away, that's like the worst thing. Like, it really sucks to miss. I don't know why. It's like, and they say that in the UFC too, when you're watching fighters, if they're missing a lot of shots, it really wears you out to do that. It's just a lot of strain on your joints and kind of shakes your whole system up.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if they could do
I'm
that.
I'm sure they could.
If they could get, what do they call that? Hepatic? No. Feedback? Something?
Yeah, man. I'm sure they, because haptic? If they can make a controller vibrate and shit and do all that stuff, they can absolutely do that. I mean, I'm sure you could buy like a whole bodysuit. Excuse my sniffling, guys. I apologize. You can make
that's gonna be wild.
You can make a whole bodysuit, like the fucking movie, Ready Player One. First a book. I like the book better, but I did enjoy the movie. That it's like they have that. So you have a whole bodysuit. So you're in this virtual world. Like that's where they basically spend all their free time, in this virtual world. But if you get hit or something, you feel it on your body and stuff like that. They do it to make it as real as possible. It's really, I'm sure if the movies think of it, somebody will make it like a year later.
Oh, for sure. Within the limitations of,
exactly,
of
technology,
of what's capable.
Yeah.
I did like how they were talking about, so they talk about Elon Musk's Neuralink, and there's been a lot of talk about that, and this is like the next thing that Elon Musk wants to work on, and they haven't really released all of the information on it, or I don't really know how much is out there.
Uh-huh.
I know it's a bit secretive, but John got to see some of it and knows Elon. And I guess it's some sort of implant, right? So remember back in the day, they were able to get that disabled person who like couldn't move, paraplegic, and he could like then use a cursor on a computer.
Right, yeah.
You ever see that?
Yeah.
But it was very basic. I guess there was just only like one or two points of... like activation, like it was a very simple little chip that they put
right
in. Well, he's talking about Elon's one having like tens of thousands of whatever the things are, inputs or however it works, so you have all these different commands, and I guess then it's just down to the interface, like how efficiently you can separate all those different commands.
Oh wow.
But in In a sense, yeah, that's kind of like just training a new muscle.
Yeah, it really
like you've
is.
Got your arms and legs, you move those. Now you've just got this bit of your brain, and you can access computers. And I mean, that is really the first major step in being cyborg, right? I guess you could say our phones are already like a bit like that. But how cool is that for people that with major disabilities, especially physical ones?
Huge. Well, even think about that in terms of VR for like people with disabilities, like a guy that can't walk, experience the sensation of walking around the Grand Canyon in VR if he wants to. I mean, it's not exactly the same, but he's moving along, you know?
Or at least flying around it, maybe.
Fuck yeah, like you're an eagle.
Right? That would definitely make me throw up.
Yeah, totally. No, I think that, yeah, it is kind of like we are on the way to becoming cyborgs. Awesome. And then Arnold Schwarzenegger will have to fight all of us. But I definitely think that's...
Aren't they making a new Terminator movie, too?
They are, yeah. It's coming out November 11th. Yep.
How are they justifying that he looks like a grandpa? The robot just gets older?
Yeah, I mean, that's what they did in the last one, that they're just forgetting... Terminator Genysis, that's what my brother calls it. Terminator Genesis, which is a pile of steaming crap. But
I didn't see it.
Oh, don't ever see it. Never avert your eyes, sir. But that's...
Was it really that bad?
It was horrendous. It was absolutely atrocious.
It seemed like it would have been.
It was so bad. But yeah, but that's how they kind of did it, that they sent back an original Terminator or something back to like the 50s. But they never really explained like why. They never explained why that Terminator went back. Or maybe they did. I don't know. Fuck that movie. But like they were like
spoiler.
But they were like, yeah, he's got living tissue, so he would definitely age. So that's how you can do it. So I'm assuming it's kind of the same thing. They sent one way back, and now it's just aged.
Mm. They even program in bad knees.
Right. He's got a walker.
Bad back. Instead of I'll be back, he's like, my back.
I have a bad back.
I have a bad back. You know what annoys me about those movies when they revamp them, the same with the Predator one, I get so tired of hearing those lines. Like, get to the chopper, or get the... Like, they just throw it in to be cute.
Right,
and
of
I'm
course.
Like, that's enough.
It's winking at the camera.
It was good the first time, and you're ruining it.
I know.
Now.
Why can't you just come up with something new that's also... Like, come up with a new iconic thing. Don't keep going back to the well, man. There's a bunch... Like, there's no limit to the bounds of creativity, especially nowadays. For the love of God. Give them a different line.
Yeah, it's upsetting. That's too much for me.
Yeah. I mean, you think about it. Think about these movies that were made in the 80s that... You know, all the Indiana Jones movies, and they made more sequels, and most of them were pretty good. Like, Last Crusade was awesome. And then they revisit it 30 years later, and it's like, remember when you were making them originally? There was no reverence for that first film. It was just like, oh, it's a new adventure. And then they come back and they do a new one, it's like, oh, we're gonna show our reverence to the originals. It's like, no, just do a new story, man. Like, just do a new thing.
Yeah, we got writers.
Yeah.
It's all right. Trust yourself. Write something new. Do you think that VR, like these goggles, could change movies? Like, obviously, sitting and watching a movie at the theater, even though you're in your front room just because you got the goggles on, that could work for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
We could probably do that now. But do you think that they'd change? Like, if you think about it, it's almost like we're just copying the reality that we have now, right? It's like, oh, you wear these headsets, and now you're just at a movie theater like you could be anywhere if you actually traveled to one, right? So it's just copying it. It's like the first cars ever made kind of looked like carriages that the horses would pull, because it was like that's what we knew before. So it kind of has to look the same. But really, wouldn't the idea be to like put yourself almost in the movie?
Well, I mean, I think there's two ways to go about that. You have the one that you could simply give them kind of like a VR experience. So they're still, the movie is still locked in terms of what it is. So it's not necessarily that you turn your head around and you can see, you know, let's say you're watching Terminator 2 and you want to see what's behind the Terminator and John. That maybe not that, but it's a more immersive experience. So it's like you're actually in there. So the filmmaker is still completely in control of what you're seeing, but it's more immersive. In the same kind of like IMAX is a bigger screen. So this would be like you're still focusing on the characters and they're always going to be in front of you, but you have more of a 360 field of vision around like what they're showing you. I don't know if I'm explaining it enough.
No, I think so. I kind of got that.
And then I guess there could be that version where you're actually kind of in there and you're in the world, but I feel like at that point, you're more in a video game than you are in a movie, because if you're in the world and you're kind of looking around, it's going to be really hard to pay attention to what the director and the filmmaker wants you to see, unless you're kind of doing it like a choose-your-own-adventure, which would be really cool, but damn, that would be a really expensive proposition, I think, to make.
Yeah, well, maybe those lines will merge.
Could be.
Maybe the line between movie and video game will kind of, you know, blend. Who knows?
Well, I think so.
They might be able to do some things like that. I think it's cool. I think the idea of what... I mean, again, I haven't tried VR, those new goggles.
Gotta try them out.
But I understand, like, these concepts, and I think that given some time, for me at least, I'm not going to invest in any of that yet.
Sure.
They're not that much either. It's like 500, but yeah. I feel like this is still... too early a stage. I want to wait till like 10th generation
exactly.
iPods.
Yeah, you don't want the new.
And then start buying
them.
Get the bugs out.
Right. Exactly. You don't want the brand, the first iPhone. You want to wait till the 5 comes out, or the 6 or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got.
But anyway, John is changing the world.
Yeah, man.
He's doing great stuff. I mean, think of where he's come and what he's done with video games in the basically late 80s, early 90s.
For real.
Moving on up and just. Evolving with the technology and always in this creative stage, really impressive. It was so cool to listen to that much of him talk just to get an understanding of like who he is and what he's up to. And it's fucking really is beautiful to know that people are out there like that, because I am far too dumb to create any of those things. But I'll play with them.
I know, I'm very glad those people are out there as well.
I'll play with them. Right, next up. Penn Jillette.
Penn.
I'm a big fan. Podcast 1343.
Yeah, man.
Penn. Penn and Stella.
Fucking legend. Penn and Teller. Penn and Teller.
Oh, my bad.
Who are Stella?
Jesus. Yeah, right? So Teller, he doesn't speak. Ever,
no, yeah,
right?
that's the whole gimmick.
It's the whole gimmick. Has he ever, like, done a speech?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are... I never watched their bullshit, but I think he spoke on that. But maybe I'm wrong. But yeah, because he was on one of your favorite shows, The Big Bang Theory. I think he played one of the characters' fathers, and I think he had a line or two or something like that.
Is that right?
Yeah, but he has spoken. He has. Well, like one of the first things he ever said was like "shit" or something like that. Like the first time he ever spoke in like a Penn and Teller.
Oh,
bit,
that's so
he
good.
Was like, "No shit" or something like that. It was really. It's been a long time. I can't remember exactly what it was, but. Yeah, so yeah, he has.
I remember, let's see, they had a show in England when I was a lot younger. Shit, I must have been like 10 or 11 then, so we're talking like 92. And it was just basically their illusion show. And some of the stuff that they did, I remember they took a truck and like ran, I think they ran Teller over, but he was fine.
He was fine.
And it was just amazing, but they spent so much money on it. Like, they weighted the whole other side of the truck down. So it was basically just on the wheels on the one side, you know, kind of.
Right.
And then the tires that went over Teller were not even real. They were just, like, there was no air in them, you
Good.
Know, so they could just, like, flatten and go across.
You better believe in yourself if you're pulling that one off.
God, Jesus.
The alternative is you die.
I wouldn't do
Hell
it.
Hell no.
I wouldn't. Their performance is like, they're magicians.
Right.
And then they obviously do comedy.
Yeah.
That's a very like 80s thing, isn't it? There used to be a
Huge
lot of people
thing.
Like that doing.
Big vape. I mean,
how would you describe that type of performance? What is that? It's kind of like carnival shit?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very carnival-esque. Well, I mean, honest to God, I feel like the best description is kind of like a Vegas show. A Vegas comedy magic show. Because that's where you're going to see that shit. You see that shit in Vegas, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to find it in
that's
West End and London or on Broadway or anything. You go to Vegas for that shit.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to the Comedy Store and trying to set his props up and pull up, you know, a fluffy ball from behind someone's ear, a little foamy colored ball.
Exactly. No, a completely different animal than that. Because they're, I mean,
Vegas loves that stuff.
They do. But I feel like they're magicians first that are really funny. You know what I mean? And I think it's part of their shtick. But I mean, I feel like they're owed that level of respect to say they're magicians first, because a bunch of assholes can get up and think they're funny and tell some funny jokes and blah, blah, blah. But what they do, like, there's no comic out there that can do that shit. So, like, they're magicians who are really fucking funny, because that's some really impressive stuff.
For sure.
That takes... Some people are just naturally funny. Some people are just naturally funny. They can get up, they can tell you, you and I, our buddy Biff, makes us laugh every time. One of the funniest human beings we know. But to become a magician, that requires a level of skill and dedication that is, to me, unfathomable. I can't speak. I can't imagine that. That's what I mean.
I think that there always seems to be like a very obsessive quality about magicians. And I think it does speak to the fact that you have to practice those things so much.
Yeah.
To get good at it, that only obsessive people can do it. They seem to have that trait in common. Like, I like the idea. I mean, magic is a bit silly.
Right.
But I would love to be able to have, like, 5 really cool tricks that I could just do.
Totally.
But I don't have the patience to even attempt to do. Did you ever have one of those little magic kits as a kid?
No.
Like, a Christmas present?
No, never appealed to me. Never, like, even, like, uncles pulling quarters out of my ear. I was like, fuck off. I hate you.
It was so cheesy. It was like you could squish all the little foam balls in the end of something, right, like a little cup, and then they would pop out of the bottom, and it was all, you could barely impress your friends.
Barely.
And your friends were also like 10, and I'm like, fuck. It was just like, what's the point of learning this more?
No, I never.
But then you see what the upper end of it is.
True.
Like when he's impressing adults that are being suspicious.
Sure.
And then they had that show, I can't remember what that's called, but where they would have magicians on, and you'd have to fool Penn and Teller, and they've obviously seen, like, every type of...
Everything.
Magic.
Right.
And then they're getting fooled, and I'm just like, wow, that's fucking
cool. That's cool. Because
that's really cool to know.
Yeah, dude, because it's one thing to simply, like, learn some tricks. It's an entirely different ballpark to come up with your own that are or illusions or whatever that are so good that you fool Penn and Teller. That's like some next level shit right there.
Yeah, very impressive. I didn't watch that show a lot, but sometimes it'll pop up on YouTube and you'll see a particular segment,
right,
and they'll be like, "Oh, this guy's amazing," because I'm sure there's a lot of shit on there, so I'm not gonna sit through a show to watch
God,
that.
No.
But getting some of the amazing ones.
Do you remember that?
That's
there was a viral video going around a year or two ago. It was David Blaine with, like, different celebrities. And he was, like, he did one with, like, Harrison Ford. And I don't know, he ended up putting, like, he put something of Harrison Ford, like, in a watermelon or a cantaloupe or something that hadn't been opened. So, like, Harrison Ford, like, slices into the cantaloupe and opens it, and there's, like, something of his that he owns in the cantaloupe, and he turns to David Blaine, he's like, "Get the fuck out of my house," because he was so blown away. It was the most Harrison Ford moment that he has ever had in his life. It was hysterical.
Oh, I gotta check that out.
It's really
That's
fucking
excellent.
Funny. That shit's cool.
Yeah, it is. David Blaine does too. I mean, some of his stuff's a bit silly, but again,
yeah,
that obsessive kind of nature, he definitely has that with some of the illusions that he pulls off. I remember being in London. I went back there for a trip when I was in my early 20s, and that was when he was in the box, just like in a glass box for like a week or whatever, with no food and water. And we walked by it, and just everyone was watching. He's just stood there, like, looking emancipated and waving, and he does some fucking crazy shit. Like, he's almost died a few times.
I know, man.
That's wild. But he's putting himself through it next level. It's not like Penn and Teller do that.
No, they don't.
They're just like, they're pulling quarters out of behind people's
right,
ears.
Yeah.
I mean, in a really amazing way. Did you ever watch Penn when he was on The Apprentice?
No, never watched that show, never once.
Yeah, they talked about that a little bit, and I've only ever seen highlights of it, but it's interesting because he gives a bit of a breakdown of the president, and he spent a good amount of time with him, and it's not good.
No.
It's always really disturbing to hear people be like, they're basically almost describing him like a bit of a sociopath. And I have no reason to believe that Penn would lie.
I
I
don't
mean,
think
maybe he
so.
doesn't like him politically, so there might be that bias. But
Could
I think
be,
he's really
but
trying to tell a real
I
story. Like,
agree.
this is who I think he is. He's a bully. He can never laugh at himself.
No, zero ability
He doesn't
to.
like music.
He's.
I mean, not
That's
liking
weird,
music
isn't
is a
it?
strange. It's very. What does that even mean?
Dude's definitely like he's definitely a narcissist. Like I mean, his narcissism is unending. I mean, I don't care. You can be on the right side of the political spectrum. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about, the man. That dude is definitely a narcissist, and I bet you anything he has at least sociopathic tendencies.
Really?
Without a doubt. I couldn't. I would not be surprised if that's like somebody diagnosed and clinically like that. It makes perfect sense. Makes perfect
Wow.
sense. I mean, just the behavior, it's classic narcissism. And that's just what it is. Classic narcissism. And oh, and brought up in an unloving household with unfettered financial freedom. That is just the makings of an absolute fucking disaster. And now he's the leader of the free world, yay.
Yeah. Wow. And mostly a Democrat his whole life too.
Mostly a Democrat.
So it just is like
Dude,
whatever. He's really a
that
Democrat.
dude is
That's
just,
very, that's the funniest thing
I
to me.
know.
I'm like, "Wait, what?
No,
Wait, did everyone forget this? Does it
everyone
even
forgot
matter?"
it. Dude,
Everyone
he's
forgot.
not a Democrat, he's not a Republican. He is whatever suits him in the moment. It's all he cares. It's just about adoration in his fan base. He could give a fuck. He doesn't believe any of this shit politically. I don't believe he believes in one damn thing he's doing unless it furthers his own agenda, his own pocketbook. That's
Well, it's just amazing to think that, I mean, when Penn was talking about this, he was just on the show.
Right.
He had this show. You couldn't touch the table because you'd put smudgy marks on it.
Right.
He would just talk on and on about himself.
Yep.
And then all the celebrities had to just kind of sit there and wait for him to be done. Then he would fire you, of course.
Right.
And then within a few years, he's the president of the United States.
President of the fucking United States.
Wow, well, that show, I mean, think about it. Without that show, he probably couldn't have done it.
No, I don't think so.
That just gave him so much exposure.
Yeah. I mean, it did. It gave him enough exposure, I think. I mean, he was kind of a celebrity anyway, just because of all his real estate deals and just him being involved and
Oh yeah, he's been
hobnobbing
famous
with,
for
yeah,
sure.
totally. But I definitely think that put him over the edge. And then he speaks to the our baser demons. I always like to say he's never spoken to our better angels once, ever. But he speaks to the dark side in all of us. And some people like that. Some people were like, yeah, finally someone that feels like me. So don't tell me representation doesn't matter, motherfuckers, because you got a bunch of fucking knuckle draggers out there that feel like they finally have somebody that represents how they feel. And he's in the White House.
Strong opinions,
Hey,
Mark.
man.
It definitely doesn't seem to want to put a positive spin on much,
No. No, not at all.
and that's a bit of a shame.
That's
It'd be
true.
nice. It's nice to have a leader that wants to be, kind of encourage some positivity. But hey, it's not forever.
No, it's not.
He's probably gonna win again, though. Good luck, Joe Biden.
Can
Good
we come
luck.
back to England
What did
with
you
you?
think about how Penn said that he doesn't drink, doesn't do any drugs, right? And this is also the same as the president, though the president may be on Adderall,
Oh, he's
but
definitely on
that's his
Adderall.
kind of deal too. He's a teetotaler as well.
Right.
I don't know too many that never did them. I have some friends that had problems
Sure.
with alcohol, especially, and now don't drink.
They don't, yeah,
So
they don't
that's
do
like
it 'cause
they
they did
know
it
there
too
was a
much.
demon.
Yeah.
But now, but do you know anyone that just never has?
I I'm sure I do, because I'm you know, I'm from the Southeast, so I knew a lot of people that were like very conservative Christians that didn't do anything like that. So I'm sure I met one or two, but no, I have no close friends that are like that. None. Like, the closest we'll get is a buddy of ours going, "I'm not drinking for the weekend." And then you're like, "What? That's you, psychopath."
Yeah. And they make it halfway through Saturday, and they're like, "Shit, I got drunk."
Exactly. Gillian Jacobs from Community, and that show Love that was on Netflix, she's the same way. She's a total teetotaler. Never done drugs. Never drank alcohol. She says she does it because there's such a history of substance abuse in her family that she just avoided it all. It's like when I had my MRI Saturday morning. People were asking me, "Were you claustrophobic?" I was like, "Never opened my eyes, so I had no idea what was in there." It's like, didn't even go there. Like, I am at that age where I don't even care. Curiosity, nah, I'm good. I don't need to know what's in there. I go in there, I close my eyes, have no idea that I'm in the small space. It's cool. It's kind of like that.
It's a smart move.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, because if you start freaking out, like, it's definitely because you're seeing it and you're feeling
tight in there. Definitely feel like there was a possibility of me freaking out. So, just because you're in that little space and you're like, and it's not that I'm afraid of being closed spaces. I'm afraid of being stuck there. And so I was like, nope, just closing my eyes. Never opened them up.
That's an interesting comparison, though, because, yeah, it's that the what if I like it too much.
Exactly.
Or what if, you know, like Donald Trump's brother, I guess, died of alcoholism, right? Basically. Like, he was an alcoholic and then died. And so it runs in his family, and it's probably not a good idea for him to do
probably
that.
Not.
And that's not terrible advice. I mean, I knew growing up a lot of my family drank way too much.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, there are plenty of alcoholics in my family. So
me too.
I should have been more aware of the idea of like, okay, maybe this is also something that I might not be out of control, and I should be more aware of that. And I really wasn't. I didn't really give it too much mind, and I haven't had too many issues with that, you know, thank God. But
oh, dude,
you never know.
I
just can't trust someone that doesn't ever get you just want to be in normal reality all the time,
right? Well, that
never changed.
They don't know the difference. They don't know what they're missing.
Yeah,
I mean, my first beer I had when I was like 21, because I come from a long line of alcoholics as well, and I definitely had an aversion to that. I didn't want to, but part of it was just like me trying to take a stand when I was younger. Like, that was my cause of some sort. So I didn't, and then I got drunk on like what, Miller Lite or some shit like that, like three of them. Maybe it was Bud Light or something. And I felt like shit the next morning. I was like, well, I'm never doing this again. But then I had whiskey and I was like, oh, no, I could get behind this.
Some of those early day hangovers before you figure out what you're doing are a disaster. And when you think about how robust you are when you're a lot younger,
oh, yeah,
like how much more your body can take and survive, the fact that you were that hungover, that same amount would probably kill us today.
Oh, without a doubt, because I'd kill myself if I were that hungover today. Because when I was a kid, when I was younger, my hangovers would last till about 2 p.m. I could almost guarantee you, no matter how bad it was, around 2 p.m., I was feeling great. I might be a little bit tired, but the pain was gone no matter how bad it was. And then one day, it lasted longer. And I went, oh, God, I'm going to have to rethink a lot of this shit now.
Sometimes they feel like never going to stop.
For real. Oh, the worst is when you're just tossing and turning. You cannot get comfortable no matter what you do. That's the worst. That's my least favorite.
Yeah. And it is those times. Those are really the only times I'm like, I understand why these people don't do this.
100%.
And they must see that too. They must think, why would people want to do that to themselves?
Exactly.
And it makes a lot of sense. And when you are sober around drunk people, which he must be all the time, obviously.
In Vegas.
You do notice how stupid people are.
Really dumb.
When they're drinking. Like, we're all having fun, but like, you definitely don't get smarter.
Yeah.
You don't get more patient. You don't get quieter. you just become pretty obnoxious.
Well, man, and I like the social aspect of it. Like, you and I grabbing a beer after work, or you and I grabbing a beer on Thursday evenings, you know, and talking comedy or whatever. We don't get hammered at all. Like, no, but, you know, it's like, it's a nice social event. We'll have a beer, we'll have a shot, we'll shoot the shit. That, I like it for that as much as anything. It takes a little bit of the edge off. I don't have to get shit can hammered to have a good time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to. I mean, you're speaking to the choir when it comes to drug use.
Right,
I'm an advocate.
Absolutely.
But I do understand that you gotta mediate it, and you gotta be somewhat careful.
Yeah.
And to some degree, I mean, especially the unhealthy ones.
Yeah.
Like, there's no advantage to, like, drinking alcohol every day. But you, with the right build up, you could do it with weed, for sure.
Sure.
But at the same time, you don't want to be doing a bunch of mushrooms every day. That would be fucked up.
No, that would be
like
horrible.
You've got to know how to use these things. There's a responsibility that comes with it all. Imagine how awful that would be every day. You tripping balls on mushrooms.
Sorry, I'm late to work. My dragon would come.
Oh, it'd be so exhausting. And then you'd like completely forget what reality is. You definitely go out of your mind.
Oh my god,
I think.
That's so fucking funny.
I don't think you could make it through that for long. But have you ever done a period of time of no drinking since you've been 21? Did you ever say, I'm going to quit for a bit of time?
Yeah, dude, I did 2 years ago. It was right after a really horrible breakup, the worst breakup I've ever gone through. Not because I was heartbroken, but because this woman was just a psychopath, a horrible human being. And I went to the Bahamas for my friend's wedding. And, you know, I was going solo and having a good time, and took a picture out with everybody, and I saw, and then they came out after the wedding. I was back home and I saw myself, and I was out of shape. It was kind of chubby and fat, and I was like, I hate every single bit of this. And so I decided right then and there, like, I went full keto pretty much, and no drinking at all, zero, zip, zilch, for 6 months.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I got pretty...
You enjoy it?
Oh, why? Yeah, it was fantastic. I've never been more clear-headed. I was motivated. It was also a good... Because it was the winter, but it was a good winter out here where it was pretty much warm. So we really didn't have a winter. We kind of just had a spring, like a nine-month spring. So that kind of helped a little bit.
Yeah.
But I was clear-headed. I was motivated. I had tons of energy. Dude, when I stopped drinking, I only have to sleep 6 hours a night. No bullshit. I go to bed at 1, wake up at 7, refreshed, sharp. I'm ready to take on the day. I don't get tired at all during the day. And I just power through. I feel great. I'm creative. I have energy. And then but for one reason, I'm like, let's just have one glass of wine tonight. It's been 6 months, and then boom, I'm right back in it.
Yeah. Well, I think, again, the moderation. Like, look at what Joe and his buddies do every year, Sober October.
Yeah.
I think that it's a smart move. I don't think it would be a bad idea to maybe pick 2 months a year and do
for
that.
Real.
You don't have to do the intense physical competition thing that they do, but if you could get a few of your friends together,
right,
and do it. I wanted to last year, and I didn't do their Sober October challenge. I was just gonna like follow along with it since we do the podcast,
right?
But this year I don't know what they are gonna pick yet, but you know, I'm like going to Paris halfway through the month,
right?
And I'm like, oh fuck, I can't, I don't know. So maybe I'll do like
Army.
I don't know, but then you can't do Sober December.
Yeah,
it's Christmas.
That doesn't rhyme.
It doesn't make sense. I'm gonna have to wait till January. It doesn't rhyme. Yeah, you can't do the non-rhyming months. But I really do like the idea of it, because it's important to remind yourself of what you just said. All that clarity,
man,
that health,
I'll tell you.
And the fact that you can do it. You have the determination.
Absolutely.
And don't worry, you can go back to drinking again next month.
Yeah.
It's fine. Take your time.
That was it. And,
you know,
and that was the thing.
Maybe there's a balance. Maybe that's what Penn is kind of saying. It with his like teetotaling, he's like, look, you can do it and function, and it's
fine.
You can. And hey, drink if you want, but every now and again, try not doing it. See if you function better. Look, you and I certainly know some people that it wouldn't hurt if they took a month off.
Yeah, a month going on eternity.
Yeah,
yeah, we absolutely do. Yeah. I think there are definite, there obviously advantages. There's also a nice advantage to sometimes having a drink after a long day. It takes the edge off.
For sure.
I mean, humans have stressful fucking lives. We always have. Since the dawn of time when we were hunting and guarding our cave, like, we've just been stressed out. So it's nice to have something that relieves that a little bit.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I'm never going to completely stop drinking.
No.
It's just too brilliant.
Exactly.
Think about it, though. I mean, just with stand-up, how often do you go up on stage and you've not had even one drink? Do you do that mostly?
I'll tell you, when I started, I wasn't drinking at all. Lately, I don't know what it was. Not this last Friday, but the show before that. Something about it, I don't know why. I was a little nervous, and I don't know why. Because I never really get nervous. So I had a couple of whiskeys beforehand to take the edge off.
Yeah.
And that was fine, but sometimes I'll flub my fucking words, and you can't do that on stage. You can't.
No. Well, you got to be careful.
Yeah.
I mean, Joe says it. Joe supports it. He says a beer and a shot, or maybe just a shot.
Yeah.
More than two drinks, though, is like, this is, you know, he's done this for 30 years.
Yeah.
He knows that balance, but I think that's where it's at. I always do about two. I've been a little too drunk once, and I think that, not drunk, but like, I was like maybe three beers in. And remember, it was when we did, the last time we did that pick from the bucket category.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Show. Because Davey Boy had his, what do you have, tequila in that little...
Yeah, dude.
...fucking thing. And I shouldn't have got into that.
Some salsa.
Because, yeah, I mean, it was still fine. I got up there and we went. The crowd was like, whatever. And it was a bit of a struggle of a day.
Right.
But I just remember getting up there and thinking, whoa, I'm a bit more wobbly than I usually am. And the worst part is, you're not sharp.
No.
You lose that, like, spark that you need to kind
100%.
Of generate thoughts. You're just, like, waffling through.
I would much rather do that open mic challenge, like, at 8 a.m. Because that's when my brain is sharp as a tack. It's, like, firing on all cylinders. That's when I'd be, like, do my best work. But, like, at the end of the day, it's a long day. You've been sitting in traffic trying to get to K-Town and shit like that, and then you're dealing with that crowd, and by the end of it, you're like, I don't know, my brain doesn't really want to cooperate anymore.
It was an important lesson, though. I needed to be like, oh, I can't do that, you know, because sometimes at the bar, you'll be out at the bar, you're drinking, you're like way into your drinking, you know. You definitely wouldn't be doing stand-up in that condition, but you're actually being hilarious.
Right.
But again, it's on your time. You're creating your own momentum. There's no pressure.
Exactly.
People at first just think that you're telling a story. They don't realize that you're going to, you know, it's not like they're sat there with their arms crossed waiting for you to impress them.
Exactly.
You know, but getting up on a stage and being in that condition is a whole different ballgame, and I needed to feel it. I was like, okay, there we go. Talking about stand-up as well, I got to wrap up here pretty soon.
Yeah.
There's two things I want to discuss, comedy-wise.
Let's do it.
One, you got a pretty good compliment after your show at the Comedy Store, and from an apprentice...
That's right, he was.
...alumni.
That's right, he is.
Do you want to talk
about
that?
Yeah, happy to. I finished my setup. I always end my set with Bernie Sanders, a joke about Bernie Sanders, what it would be like for him to try and get laid in college. And I do a Bernie Sanders impression, which, I feel fairly confident in. And I'm leaving the stage. We're in the original room. The place is standing room only. I mean, they kicked the comics out. It is packed to the brim. I'm in the middle of the walkway trying to leave because the comics are outside on the patio. And Gary Busey stops me in the middle of the aisle, grabs my hand, is like, your Bernie Sanders impression is amazing. It's a terrible Gary Busey impression, I'm sorry. But he's like, your Bernie Sanders impression is amazing. I was like, thanks so much. He goes, no, man, listen, that's really good. It's like really good. I'm like, this is Gary Busey from Under Siege and Drop Zone and Lethal Weapon.
Legend.
Giving me a compliment. And, you know, Gary's had his share of issues in the last 20 years, but it was still really cool. And then the waitress was like trying to get around us, and like, I'm usually very conscious of trying not to be in their way because they have a fucking thankless job. But I'm sitting here going, what do you want me to do? Like, a celebrity cornered me to tell me how great I am. Like, fuck off, I'm gonna enjoy this. And then the best part was, he came, I'm sitting outside, comes back out to me, starts talking to me again. It was really fun. I mean, it was really fucking cool. So
that's
it was
sweet,
a cool man. Moment. It was a cool moment. That is great. It was really neat. It was a good, the set went well.
You never know who you're gonna get at the Comedy Store.
No, man.
You never know. Like, Drew's been, Dr. Dre, I mean, yeah, has been in there, like, in the last year. Like, some big-name guys go in. And then also, you know, some C-list celebrities like Gary Belusi.
Yeah. Belusi. Oh, dude, my best set ever. Legend. It was the one 2 months ago. You were there. It was the one where my mom was in the audience. This dude, the dude that replaced Steve Guttenberg in the Police Academy movies, he was the new Steve Guttenberg character in Police Academy 5, my Operation Miami Beach or whatever, which I watched on repeat endlessly, especially when I was ever homesick from school. I would just play that movie on a fucking loop because I loved it, because Tackleberry pulled out his 44 Magnum and pointed it at a shark, and I thought that was the coolest fucking thing in the history of the world. And
those movies were great.
They were, but this dude, and God help me, I don't know his name, but he was sitting there, and of course my promoter every now and then he'll ask me to like come help with a line because like I'm the biggest dude there and I'm like been a bouncer, and so I'm like, awesome, I'm being a bouncer at the Comedy Store for 5 seconds. But he comes through and he's like this sweet dude, and I'm like, oh dude, Police Academy 5 is one of my favorite movies. he laughed because he was like, I can't believe somebody brought up Police Academy 5 to me. I could just see it in his face. Like,
that's so, I don't think I'd recognize him. I can't remember which character that is. Probably if I saw him.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll put...
So he was like the cop, right? The bad guy cop.
No, Steve...
And not really
no,
a bad
like
guy.
No, like Steve Guttenberg's character was Mahoney. He was the cut-up. And then...
Oh,
yeah,
I got
so
you.
He leaves the movie franchise, and they kind of... He's not like... This dude wasn't playing Mahoney. He was just playing the Mahoney type. Like the new cut-up.
Yeah, different.
And stuff
different.
Like that.
Remember so. Remember like the bumbling cops? The older guy? And they were always trying to like foil every plan.
Yeah. Oh, and yes. Fuck. I can't remember that.
Well,
name.
Whatever.
Yes.
Whoever his name is. But the old guy, he, I guess, lived in Albuquerque. Because when I was in high school, he used to do a lot of those really cheesy local commercials, like for car dealerships or whatever. And he'd be that character.
Get out.
He'd just be like a grumpy cat. Dude, they were brilliant.
Oh,
I don't know if you can find them online. But definitely,
yeah.
Because
he was also he was also in Short Circuit. He was basically playing the same character.
Yeah, right.
Proctor.
Yeah, he was definitely just that guy. That's
Proctor
right.
Proctor was his sidekick, his bumbling idiot sidekick. I can't remember the other guy.
Yep.
So anyway, okay. And yep. Next announcement.
All right, next the big thing.
Big thing.
We are going to be doing a, kind of like a special series of shows.
Yeah.
Where they're either going to be like what we learned this week, or a conspiracy show, or just something else we want to look at. And this week, probably dropping Wednesday or Thursday, we're going to be discussing the Dave Chappelle stand-up
special.
Right? Not really a review of it, because one, I'm not giving away any of his jokes, or I would never do anything like that. But just kind of like what he touches on, why it's important
right.
to kind of voice it. And also look into a little bit of the criticism and praise.
Yeah, the controversy
that he's getting. There's a,
yeah,
dude. There's a ton of it out there. People have a lot to say about this, and I want
to
get into
it.
I
can't wait to watch it.
I want to talk about what the angle is, and hey, any excuse to watch Dave Chappelle stand up, I'm down.
Fuck yeah,
so,
man.
That's it, guys. Thanks as always for tuning in and sticking with us. Bit of a longer one today, hour long.
All good.
And that's it. We really appreciate you guys.
Yeah, guys.